Bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting.
This gin is neat. That's what Jeff says.
Oh, this gin is fantastic. When I tried it, if you go in, they will give you a free sample of everything.
How much is train tickets to your place?
You know, maybe we can get a group rate to get people out here, and we will just have a crazy good time.
I'd vote for that.
You know what? Come out, because the distilleries and the microbrews.
Steve's gay. There we go.
Around here are just amazing. So we'll go to Spirit Town. We'll go downtown to Denver to Stranahan and try their whiskey. And yeah, there's a bunch of places around. And we will go.
Jeff will hook you up with his TSA officers.
I tell you what, it's Batwench and Princess Vagel in the Basham. Jeff having a great time.
Yes.
Hello. Welcome to the big show. I've been recording for about 10 minutes now.
Oh, well.
Normal service is resumed. We are back. I do apologise for missing last week, but I had a good reason. And I do apologise to the whole panel that I let down at very short notice, but they know I had a good reason. So we're all back. It's normal. It's the week in technology. Discussing it with me, an incredible panel. First, the newly outed Steve Neighbour. How you doing, mate?
Hello, I'm very well. Are we cutting out this week?
Yeah, you know, are you the Queen Mother? Because you love your gin, don't you?
Oh, I've just been telling me about his gin from his local distillery. Yeah, that looks amazing. I've never had moonshine, which is what he's been telling me about. It looks great.
Excellent. We must try moonshine. That would be superb. How have you been, dude?
Yeah, really good. Not too bad at all. Busy week. Young daughter is 4 this weekend, so we've got a birthday party for that. So getting ready. But all than that, it's lovely weather here. Anyone else not in the UK, we've had summer. Summer has started and it's been great.
Yes. And Monday, busy day coming up for you on Monday.
Oh, yes. At the London Mac User Group, we are taking over the whole basement of the old Explorer pub. And we're going to broadcast as best information we have, maybe the video stream as well, for the WWE keynote event. And we're also giving away an iPad mini as well for anyone who turns up. Excellent. And enters our raffle.
For those that don't know, Steve is the chairman of the London Mac User Group.
Yeah, I got them all drunk and they all voted for me. That was my tactic.
It works for me, mate. It's fine. Next to him, I was going to say talking to drunks, but that would be an insult and it's not fair. But you have told us nothing but gin for the last 40 minutes. Jeff Gamet, how you doing, mate?
I'm doing really good. And I'm glad you're back. It was lonely without you last week, Ewan.
It was. Did you sit there waiting for me? Because I did try to tell you that I wasn't going to be there.
You know, I even hopped into the chat room to let people know that that we weren't going to have a show, just in case people didn't have the message. And for the people that were in the chat room, yeah, there was a little bit of chatting, and it was all good. So it wasn't the same without you, but that just means that we can't get by without you.
Princess Bagley in the chat room for some reason said, Ewan and Jeff, please feel sorry for me. I didn't realise I dislocated my elbow for a whole year till my chiropractor popped it back in and it hurts like hell now.
Ow!
How do you not know you've got a dislocated elbow for a year?
Gin.
Yeah, gin. If you drink enough, then you don't know.
constantly.
And really, once it's back in place, how do you fix that? Is that a kiss it, make it feel better thing? Is it have another drink thing? I don't know how that works.
I'm going to skip ahead here and miss Sarah out just to go to Rich Harkness, our resident doctor, because he's going to tell me, how the hell do you know that you dislocate? You can't dislocate your elbow, can you? It's not a ball joint.
Yeah, that's, you can do. There's no reason to why not, but you could probably, it's probably what they call subluxed, which is where it's ever so slightly but not completely out of joint. That's what I suspect.
Right.
That happened there. Because you would still be able to use your arm a little bit if it was subluxed, but it would be painful.
Okay. So, that's
it. You certainly know about it.
Well, now, to be fair, it was Princess Bagel's drinking arm. So that might explain a lot right there.
Yeah, the arm wasn't the problem. It was the drinking. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I'm surprised, if that's the case, that I can actually move either of my arms.
She says she's got fibromyalgia, Rich. Does that?
Oh, that hurts.
She probably has lots of pains in lots of places. So, yeah, you could she could have easily...
Is that hypochondriac's disease?
Yeah.
It is a hypochondriac's disease, then.
Said no such thing.
I said, is it a hypochondriac's disease? You said yes. Therefore, I'm getting told to go somewhere and do something when I get there. So, thanks. Next to Dr. Richard is Sarah with new hairstyle. How are you doing, girl?
That's not new hairstyle.
It is.
It's not. It's
I haven't
not.
Seen your forehead in 4 years, girl.
All right, okay. Well, there you go, then. I sorted that.
No, I like it. It's good. It softens the face.
It's new
mate.
To me.
Immensely. How are you doing?
Yes, I'm fine, thank you. I don't quite know whether I'm coming or going at the moment. Seem to be backwards and forwards from Ireland a lot at the moment, which is fun, but it's keeping me busy. And thankfully, the weather's nice here and the weather's nice over there. Kind of wish because of where we are on the coast that I was there at the moment, because it's very often cold there when it's nice everywhere else because it's right on the coast. But hoping it's going to be like that in 2 weeks' time when I'm back there.
You sound like you really don't want to be in England at all. That's all I read there was blah, 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 Ireland. Wish I wasn't here. Blah, 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 Ireland. It's stuff quite, England, blah, 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 Ireland.
No, it's not quite like that. It's just that it's because we're on the right on the southwest tip, and it's always cold there, even when it's sunny, and the weather is beautiful there at the moment, and it's like that so infrequently in the summer. I'm kind of thinking I might have missed the summer by the time I get there in a week's time.
There's only 10 hours of sunshine on the southwest tip of Ireland, and I want to be there for it.
The sunshine's not the problem. It's the fact that it tends to be fairly windy, as you imagine, by the coast. So,
come down to the Apple Kino in the pub in London.
There'll be loads that you'll be interested in.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
I hear there's
We've got extra bar staff being laid on.
Oof.
Well, not just because not I'm coming, then.
Well, there's the gin to pour.
I'm getting a whole load of grief off the chat room for taking the piss out of Princess Bagel. I can't wait till the bash because I'm going to get stabbed.
I hope not.
And last but by no means least, Carl Madden, cleanly shaved.
Clean shaven to reflect my clean living.
Mate, you are actually glowing. You could have done with some makeup, dude.
It's because it's so hot in here. Shine. I'm sweltering.
I've got, if you hear noises outside, that's because I've left the window open. If you don't like it, bollocks. Because it's so frigging hot in here. I've got a fan running under the desk as well. That's what you need.
Oh, can I put fans on then?
No, I went to a workplace years ago, and the guy had the desk fan bought for him, and he put the fan under the desk. And I said, what's that all about? He said, trust me, you keep your ankles cool, your whole body stays cool. And I've got to say, to this day, I keep my fan under my desk.
Yeah, I'm sure he was cooling his ankles.
Do you like being... No,
you can take the piss all you like, but until you put a fan under your desk and it's cooled your ankles, you won't be bleating then. Yeah, see?
Is that a sort of casting couch thing?
Well, you didn't try and shag me, if that's what you're asking. No. Richard, come on, mate. But ankles and wrists, that's where all the heat is. If you keep it cool, the body stays cool.
Yeah, you've got quite a lot of blood. Coming near the surface of your feet, haven't you? So you've got a lot of veins and things like that. So I imagine that there's probably some sense in cooling your feet down will help the rest of you cool down a bit.
And he's a doctor. Yeah? Should have listened. The Week in Tech. Apparently, here in the UK, they're looking at ISPs offering network-level porn filtering to get rid of the fact that they need to do it regulatorily. Hands off me porn.
You guys need to get rid of porn?
Hands off me porn, all right?
I like the fact they used the term in the story, deep packet inspections.
Oh, I nearly spat that water out because of that.
Now, Carl, you're a man of the world. How much is that an hour? How much is deep packet inspection an hour?
Well, I don't know. Last time I went... Anyway, moving on.
Microsoft has reinstated the Windows Start button, but instead of doing it in their software, they've done it on a mouse.
Oh, that's just stupid.
They've issued a new mouse that has got a Windows button on it. There you go.
They're taking Windows to a whole new level of stupid.
Yes.
It's basically a way of selling new hardware, isn't it?
Yeah.
And?
You know what? That's just a deep packet inspection full of stupid.
I think we just got our show title.
Deep packet inspection equals proctology.
I don't want to be really anal about this, but the mouse, you drag it down to the bottom left to hit the start button. Now you're going to hit the start button, then you drag your mouse down to the bottom left because you need to operate your which one you want to choose.
No, there's no menu no more. That's gone.
Menu's gone.
Is it the floor in this? No.
What do I need to drag down to my bottom, says Bookery?
Well, that, you know, that's totally here, up to you, and we won't
Have
judge.
You spotted it yet?
What's that?
There's definitely a flaw here.
Go on.
It's just a mouse. What's the whole idea of Windows 8 to get rid of?
Oh, yeah, good point. And there's a Windows 8 in the background there as well, you see. Yes.
It's supposed to be touch. What the hell do you need a mouse for?
That's a bullet to your own foot.
And look where that button is. So when I look at that mouse, what I hear is Microsoft is saying only right-handed people should use Windows.
I thought there was thumb, which is proctology.
Yeah, absolutely. It's thumb, thumb, isn't it?
Sarah, that really isn't what I was saying.
A bit of gaffer tape on the side of a mouse, doesn't it? With the Windows logo stuck on it.
That would be
a picture.
Is it on the bottom? Oh, I'm the only one following the proctology theme through, so there we go. The BBC clock is going from their website. Apparently, the reason is someone complained to the trust, the BBC trust, that it was inaccurate. And here's the irony. The clock gets its time from your computer. So if your computer's knackered, then the clock on the BBC website's knackered.
I reckon all the people who complained are the same people who have the microwaves and VCR set at 88 minutes past 88.
I heard there was only one person that complained.
There was complaints, according to what I say. But
it's pathetic.
It is pathetic.
It is pathetic.
Well, no, what's pathetic is not the fact that the BBC takes its accurate time from your computer, which is going to be flawed to start with. How hard is it to write a bit of code that had just put a clock up there that's accurately correct for the time zone that's viewing it?
How about putting a bit of text that says, look at your bloody watch?
I just think, you know, the BBC should definitely leave it there. If it's as you would expect, getting it from the client side, where i.e. the person's PC who's viewing it, then why didn't the BBC just say, well, get your clock right then?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, come on, is this the tail wagging the dog or what?
It's gone. This is the kind of email I would have loved to have seen land in Steve Jobs' inbox.
Yeah, absolutely.
Out of the floor.
Yeah, his absolutely response back right. would have been, you're setting it wrong.
Absolutely.
That would have been the polite response, I bet.
Chat room
yeah,
saying.
I'm pretty sure it would have started verbally with a couple F bombs. Oh my God, yeah. F bombs. So last night, I'm chatting with my mom, and out of the blue, she goes, what's an F bomb?
No. Did you say photo bomb?
No.
It's a fizz bomb, Jeff, that you put in the bath.
Oh, God. See, where were you guys last night? I told her what it is.
So did you tell her the truth?
Like, oh, Jeff.
You told her the truth?
Oh, yeah.
My brother
was there, too, and he did it, too. He was just like a second behind me. So my mom got double F-bombed.
Oh, man. I nearly said a bad word there, but I'm not going to say it now.
That would be the F-bomb, then.
That would be the F-bomb word. Government, apparently, according to a survey, spends 3 days a year booting their computers.
So they're wasting 3 days a year booting their computers.
Like all at once? Like they shut down the offices and say, these are the 3 days we will...
That's it. We're all going to sit here and press start. Now,
what's their excuse for the other 362 days, then?
Oh.
Ooh.
Yeah, so, something.
No, they're having committee meetings.
Something needs booting in it, isn't there? Computers.
I got to say, I thought this story was utter bollocks.
And I do agree.
And the reason is that most computers that I ever go to when I'm at workplaces, it's Control Alt Delete. And they're just on. They're like the, what do you call them? I was going to say the Waze workstation, but it's not Waze. What's the thing that begins with W? Who do the workstations? A little tiny box like an ultra computer. Waze stations. There you go.
SE. Waze. Yeah.
But the thing that got me in the story, Kelly, who apparently is from the office, said the departments could buy the equivalent of 10 iPads a year for the cost of a normal £6,000 desktop PC. Are they buying from frigging Alienware or what?
Such is the wonders of procurement.
Most of the computers I've seen in government offices, most of the computers I've seen in government offices couldn't play bloody Minefield accurately without a graphics upgrade. Let alone a £6,000 PC. What's Sarah, talk us through it. Go on, so Steve even talk us through it.
I'm ready to unleash a few F-bombs here.
Bomb away, boy, bomb away. Carpet bomb.
The £6,000 comes from the all of the packages that you need to buy from your IT or IM people and the numbers of people that they employ to provide services and answer questions on the end of a phone whenever you want it. That's what the £6,000 is for. It's for those people that
in the Philippines,
those IT support people who don't do anything, who just sit there just constantly coming up with problems. And are you okay, Sarah?
Yeah,
you know,
who sit there just providing problems and blockers.
Sarah, you look like you're boiling, mate.
It's just annoying all the IT people around.
No. I actually agree with Steve.
Oh, I was trying to wind you up.
That didn't work.
Oh, bugger.
You know, I clearly had it wrong, because what I was picturing was a bunch of Alienware PCs with all the neon lights glowing through them and chavs sitting at desks going, "Right, I got a nice PC, right?" And I'm sorry, I completely butchered the accent. But
thank you, Dick. That was pretty much it, though, Jeff. No, you're right. It's fine. No problem at all. And the last story to start us off tonight is this guy. This is Mr. Miller.
Is he French?
He is Alan John Miller. He is a former IT specialist who believes that he is Jesus Christ reborn. And this is tenuous in terms of the old IT link, of course, the technology link, because he's an IT specialist, he believes. But, I mean, why Jesus would feel he needed to learn any programming code before he came to the earth and revealed it is beyond me. But what really tickled me about this story entirely was the fact that if you're religious, I mean, normally, as far as British tech goes, we always say step away from the religion, because it's really got no positives whatsoever at all. Only people will get upset over it. But the thing that tickled me about this story is this guy comes out and he mentions things which are, he remembers the crucifixion, etc., etc. The only people that are really saying they don't believe this guy is
religious
Christians,
the church. So when you believe you're Jesus Christ, you come out, you tell everybody. The only people that don't believe you are the church. I find that quite amazing.
That's what happened when our true Jesus Lord was on the earth.
Well, he came out and he was an IT specialist.
Well, to be fair, God needs help with Facebook. So,
God's in charge of Facebook. Did you just say God's in charge of Facebook, Jeff? No, I said
God needs some help with Facebook.
He needs help. You know,
he needs someone to write those special plugins just for him. And he's probably high enough on the food chain that he can afford to have his own private coding staff.
He does quite well on Twitter, though. He's quite funny, actually.
See?
God, yes, God is on Twitter, I do believe.
Yeah, no, it's quite funny. And his son. And the Holy Spirit as well. They're all quite funny, actually.
Never mind. Well. Let's move away from the regions. I thought it would go better than it did, to be honest, but we're probably going to get letters of complaint, and I'll get them all.
Yeah, and if anyone wants to complain about the things that I just said, you would make me say them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I tell you what, though, Drop Adam is not as funny as God on Twitter, though.
God on Twitter is really funny.
He is
a lot funnier than Allah.
Let's start. I can't believe I'm going to say this. The Guardian. And The Guardian is God's newspaper because it changes its name on a Sunday. The Guardian and Jeff have outed the NSA that they've got a court order saying that Verizon was forced to give out customer records and access to customer phone conversations. Now, Jeff, you wrote a huge article on this, which I read this afternoon, and I was floored by it, I have to say. You've got some additions to that article now.
I do, but before I hop into the additions.
The auditions afterwards, mate, trust me.
Yeah, auditions in my office on the couch later on, ladies. All right, so what happened, it looks like, is that the NSA got a warrant to force Verizon to give them all kinds of data about phone calls that people were making. And this wasn't just for specific subscribers on the Verizon network. This was for all of their cell phone users. So they got this sweeping warrant that allowed them to collect all the information about who people were calling, how long they were talking, where they were when they were talking, and a bunch of other information too. The only thing they weren't getting, it looks like, is the actual recordings of conversations. So this was done through a secret order, and then Verizon was required by the order not to talk about the fact that they were providing all of this information. Well, still are, because it ran from like the middle of April, and it runs through the middle of July, I believe. So so this data is still being collected. And so, I mean, that's a pretty creepy thing, because they're collecting all of this information. They're investigating people without reasonable suspicion or probable cause. And in the United States, you're supposed to have those to meet those thresholds before you can get a warrant to investigate someone. And it's for something very specific.
Your suspicions have to be raised somewhat.
Yes. And you have to be able to prove to a judge why you should be able to collect this information to conduct surveillance on someone. And it looks like right now, based on the very limited bits of information we have, the reason behind this is because. And
oh, that one.
Yeah. So that's a really scary.
Is it? It's because with a capital B, though, to be fair.
Sure, because it is a government. So, yeah, capital B. Now, what I saw happening as this news was coming out was a bunch of people going, oh, my God, thank God I'm on AT&T because Verizon's collecting all this information and giving it to the government. And my first thought was, oh, you naive people. Mm. Because if there's a warrant for Verizon, then there's a really good chance there's one for T-Mobile, AT&T, and Sprint. So what I did this morning was sent off emails to Verizon asking them to verify what's going on, and then sent emails to AT&T, Sprint, and T-Mobile asking them to confirm whether or not they too got warrants. So before I finished my article, AT&T had responded. AT&T is really good about getting back to journalist requests quickly, and they did that today. And the response was, "We have no comment." Now,
fantastic response.
Well, actually, for me, it was a fantastic response, because by saying we have no comment, mm-hmm. what that tells me is that they are confirming that there actually is a similar warrant in place, and they're having to provide the same information.
Along with the super injunction against disclosing the fact that there's a warrant in place.
Exactly. So by saying no comment, that is a roundabout way for AT&T to say we have a similar warrant that we're having to comply with.
That's them waving a white flag out the corner of the room going, Jeff, come and send someone else. Come and help. Jeff, come and help.
Yeah, that may very well be. But to be fair, saying no comment isn't a confirmation or a denial. I am inferring from the no comment statement that they gave me that there's actually a warrant in place. Now, this afternoon, I got responses from Sprint and T-Mobile. And those came in shortly before we started recording today. So I haven't had a chance to update my article yet. In both cases, I got similar responses. They have both said no comment.
So there's got to be a censorship clause to that warrant. There must be.
Can I ask a question, Jeff? Sorry.
Sure.
That's the that's the principle of the show, mate. Go
no,
ahead.
No, no. So somehow this court order from Verizon found its way to The Guardian. Now, do you think if it had found its way to one of the US news outlets, they would have gone with it or just kept it quiet?
They would have gone with it. Absolutely. Unless it was something like, well, no, I was going to say unless it was Fox, but Fox would have run with it and totally spun it as Obama is stealing your rights and police state and yeah, whatever. Because this is not the first instance of this happening. That something that, as far as I know right now, was even more sweeping than what we're dealing with in this case happened when shortly after the 9/11 attacks in 2006 or 2000 was it
2001
wow
9/11 was 2001 yeah
thank you so 2001 so shortly after the 9/11 attacks, President Bush issued a secret order to the NSA allowing them to collect the same types of information from cell companies, but also allowing them to track carte blanche people's internet surfing activity and all of their email. So so if anyone is saying this is something that's new and this is limited to the Obama administration, no. This is not new. President Bush did the same, and based on what I know right now, probably worse. But I bet we'll get more information about what's happening with this surveillance as time goes by. But as it stands right now, I have responses from everyone except Verizon, and everyone has said we are not commenting. And when you are not commenting, that means you're not allowed to say no.
Jeff, I was going to say, I would interpret that to mean that they're not commenting because they've possibly received something and it's with their legal team to decide how to respond.
Of course. And yes, absolutely. I'm certain the reason it took a while for me to get responses from Sprint and T-Mobile was because a legal team had to tell them what was okay to say. Now, if there's no warrant in place, it's okay for the legal teams to say, just tell them no, because there's nothing there. So, yes, I'm inferring from the no comment statements that they can't say no. But yes, keep in mind, I am inferring from this, but based on my my previous involvement as a government employee, that totally fits with the way a government agency would respond when they're not allowed to comment on something, as opposed to when there's simply nothing to comment on.
I've got to say, Jeff, there's and everyone, I guess, there's a certain element of the conspiracy theory around the current issues with terrorism and that kind of stuff that you know, everyone that's got conspiracy theories wants me to believe that the government is sponsoring the terrorism so that they can have the draconian measures to spy and view my life. And every time I pull away from that and go, no, I don't believe that that's the case, there's something happens that pulls me back towards it. And that's the problem I think the governments currently have, is I do think there's an awful lot of good anti-terrorism works going on. But every time stories like this come up, it scares the well-minded people back towards the conspiracy element.
You know, the conspiracy elements I tend to stay away from because, by and large, I have found people look for conspiracies mm-hmm. where they want to see them, and they will put the pieces together in such a way that it creates the conspiracy they want to see. Like, I have talked to many people over the years that are certain that the whole terrorist attack on September 11th in the United States was a government act.
It was orchestrated
by the U.S. government. And that's, from my opinion, that is total crap. And having been a government employee, I know how the government works in the United States. And anyone that is willing to give the United States government, or pretty much any government, that much credit is far overestimating the abilities of their governing entity. I mean, really, if you think you can keep that many people quiet about a conspiracy that would involve as many people as were involved in something like this, or for that matter, look at the people that think the lunar landings were a hoax. No,
I think there's a separation there, Jeff, though. There's a huge separation there. Go ahead, Steve.
I think there's a bigger crime here. Yeah, the September 11th were absolutely awful. What's going on in Syria, what's going on in other parts of the world is not good. But the way that the governments control the media to spin the story that they want to get over, to control us as voters and public and our views, I think is not right. So, for instance, we probably all do things in work that we would score 6 out of 10 for it, but we sell it as 10 out of 10 because it was really good, to get people of the view that it was really good so that we can get them to do things that we want to. I believe the governments do the same thing. So if they want to take over particular countries or particular areas, they will use small uprisings and build them up through the media to make us feel that we need to take control over it in a big way, even though it's probably only a small issue. I think that's the bigger issue for me.
You're talking about, presumably, what happened in Libya.
And Syria. And Iraq.
And
Cyprus.
There's a point from Alex here in the chat room. Says, remember that maybe the opposite of conspiracy is complacency and naivety. And he makes a good point there in the fact that you can't ignore these issues. But I struggle with the idea of the fact, as Steve says there, that governments are harping on at these issues and seizing opportunities to have draconian control that's not necessity in the isolation. They are monitoring too many people's phone calls on the basis of we're doing it for the general population because we might catch the odd one that says something that says bomb or presidency or... And I mean, I've said enough things on Twitter that I probably wouldn't get a visa into the States now. But I find it really pretty offensive that I go to another country and I'm forced to give my fingerprint, they scan my eye, they ask me questions that I think are unwarranted, and I'm asked questions in Amsterdam to get into the US. And when I say to them, I'm on the 605 flight from Schiphol, they say, where's your itinerary? It's in my head. Well, why didn't you print it out? Because it's in my head.
Because I'm not stupid.
Exactly.
I can remember that.
And then they want to make a big thing of the fact that I haven't printed out my itinerary. I'm like, look, let me on the plane, or don't let me on the plane. If you haven't got a point, then piss off and leave me alone, because I'm afraid I carry my itinerary around my head. I've only got 2 flights to catch. I know the times that they are. And they didn't like that as an answer. And I find it really offensive that the US wants me to give up personal biometric data in order to get in and see my family, and we don't do the same back. And the only country in the world which doesn't have to do the biometric entry process is Brazil. And the reason is because Brazil said, well, you have to do the same to get into our country then.
I don't know why people think it's different now to in the 50s, during the war, there was this build-up of the media to make something seem like it wasn't. In the 70s, et cetera, with all of the Watergate, et cetera, there was media were told one thing when actually something else was happening. Why do people feel that's different now?
It is
different now.
I think part of the difference for the average person is that it's a lot easier to look up information and to put your own opinions out there for other people to find. Whereas before, you had to really go hunting, in many cases, to find information or opinions. But now that we have the internet, we've, in a sense, democratized the ability to distribute our opinions. And thanks to Google and Bing and Yahoo, which is now Bing for search purposes, you can find almost anything you want, and you can get your personal message to almost anyone. And I think that's the big difference now. It's just easier to get that opinion out there and for other people to find opinions that they want.
I think the other thing is as well, though, that the technology has allowed interoperability, which the average person didn't believe that was there, and they rebel against to a certain degree. I know from my own experience, being a self-employed person, my company pays me for mileage, and I say I've done 20,000 miles. Now, the tax inspector from Inland Revenue Service that comes up to me and says, so, Ewan, you did 20,000 miles for your business last year? And I go, yes, I absolutely did. And they said, well, hang on, here's your Department of Transport MOT certificate, and it says that from the MO certificate from here to here, you've only done 18,000 miles. So how do you do an extra 2,000 miles in a car that's only done 18,000 miles? Because now, as a government department, I've got instant access to every other government department's information. And that's the positive use of it, because it makes sure that I don't overclaim on my tax, my government gets the correct tax from all the things that I've done. But the negative element of that, of the fact that they know everywhere I've been, everything I've done, everything I can possibly come up with, is something that people are not ready mentally for, as well as, which is where the conspiracy theory comes from.
Hmm. And people love a good conspiracy.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Jeff, what do you think the fallout of this will be?
I think the fallout will be that, at least in the United States, that the average citizen will have less trust in the government than they had before, and that there will be, depending on how vocal different groups get, there might be some low-level federal investigation into privacy rights. But I think in the grand scheme of things, it will just simply disappear. But as an example, the sweeping access that President Bush authorized NSA after the September 11th terrorist attacks, how many people in the United States actually remember that happened now? They've forgotten. They've moved on, and that's how people are. So they're depending on how vocal people get, there might be a little bit of looking into this, but I think in the end, nothing's going to change.
Mm-hmm. And of course, it's probably got us out the house as well. If they've called anyone abroad, out the house, probably. And when we go to the States and we use Verizon or AT&T, it's out the house as well. They're probably kept or slurped up.
Oh yes, if you are on those networks, then that data is being collected. And if you are in the United States and you're calling someone outside of the United States, the data about that call is being collected as well. So if I were to call any of you on my iPhone right now, that information is being collected and logged and eventually handed over to the NSA.
Get your mom to call me and then I'll explain F-bomb to her.
Oh, that'll be awesome.
Save you doing it.
Too late. But yeah, I'll have her call you in.
Point in the chat room from Alex says, we've got an open internet, but the people really know how to get to the story are being held back far more than they used to. The internet is full of useless non-information. Investigative journalists are being restricted. You've made a point there, Richard, about the money trails and that kind of stuff, but I don't know if this is about money, per se.
It depends what's driving it, isn't it? You know, sometimes depends if the motivation behind this is to get into a, you know, get into a conflict somewhere so you can scrape, so you can get the, you know, the military industrial complex up and running, because it's worth, you know, it's a multi-billion dollar industry, and there's a lot of people's pockets get lined when they go to war. So that's all I'm going to say.
Okay, fair enough, because you want to get into the US at another date in the future. The silence I'll take is the fact that you all want to get into the US at some point in the future, so therefore we'll keep quiet then.
Oh, but then it's worked, hasn't it?
Exactly.
So what can you do?
Go on, Carl. Go on, mate. Get expelled.
No, you're right, Carl. You are right.
Thing is, we as UK citizens, I believe our government's doing this already anyway as well.
I bet they've been doing it
for years.
I bet they are.
If you look at Israel, though, I mean, the whole point of Israel, when they look at anti-terrorism, they're tracking you from the very point that you get within a mile of any kind of central transportation hub. They've seen your face on a camera already. They're watching you when you get to the terminal, when you get dropped off and you pick up your bag and you walk through the door. They've already clocked you and they've already decided whether they're going to pull you out or not. And it, that's, to a certain degree, through the 70s in Ireland, England were doing the same. We were looking at people long, long, long before they got to the gate, before they got on the plane. You know, good terrorist surveillance is not the kind of terrorist surveillance that's overt that is being done in the States at the moment. I go to last time I flew into New York, the TSA there were a bunch of arseholes, complete bunch of arseholes. It was young kids that wanted to take the power that they got, and all they were looking for was any kind of opportunity to give me a cavity search. And I just wasn't happy with the way that they did it. I've got to say, the TSA at Detroit Airport were brilliant, but the ones at New Jersey were just awful, absolutely awful. And there is no positive element to doing overt counterterrorism in that way. All the good counterterrorism is subversive, not overt.
So you and a lot of us here in the States have a term for the whole TSA system in airports. We call it security theater, meaning it's just a show.
Yeah.
We know it's not doing anything to ensure our security. And they're just going through this act, creating this theater that's all for show. And it's very frustrating. It does nothing. It's wasting time and money. And the number of people that have been arrested out of TSA actions, to the best of my knowledge, it's far outnumbered by actual TSA employees than by citizens or travelers. And it's for stealing stuff from travelers.
It's probably more to do with travelers telling the TSA to go screw themselves. I bet you that's where the greatest quantity of detention's about.
Yeah, and I had an instance, this was a few years ago, where a TSA agent was ordering me to take everything out of my bag and questioning me about my flight itinerary. And I got so fed up, I said, you know, whatever happened to the Constitution? Whatever happened to the Bill of Rights and my rights as a citizen? And he said, there is no Constitution here. I am the Constitution.
Oh, man.
And I thought, oh, okay, well, this is not going to go well.
How can you be the Constitution? You don't shave yet.
That's right. I'm pretty sure that was a requirement when our founding fathers wrote the document. If it couldn't shave on its own, then it couldn't be the Constitution.
Lenovo has defied the PC slump, according to an article on PC Pro. They've posted a 90% profit increase. Now, I've got to say, I look at this, and it says that their net profit is $126.9 million for the quarter ending to March, which is up from $66.8 million from the year before. I'm sure the devil's in the detail to do with this in terms of loss of expenditure, which then gives them the profit. But Lenovo have got a good reputation in the last 2 years because, of course, they were the IBM ThinkPad element.
That's right.
That have kind of been taken over and moved.
They bought all the PC business from IBM, didn't they?
Exactly, yeah. But, I mean, are they showing any way? As I say, the devil's in the detail with this. I don't believe the figure's absolutely 100%. But there's definitely a step change that says that Lenovo's shirking the trend here.
Yeah. It's like Samsung posted within the last week or so figures that showed that their profits are up hugely. And obviously, I know that theirs is obviously, they've so many different phones that they brought out, so it's not a complete surprise. But, you know, it just shows that, you know, IBM couldn't work out how to make it work, and, you know, somebody else has come along, taken the business and found a way to make it work. And, you know, the hardware is very good.
I've got a lot of companies that used to use the IBM ThinkPad that I do work for, and they swear by it, apart from the fact that they had to use Lotus Notes for too long. Ouch. Sorry, I did swear there. Do I have to bleep that?
Yeah, anytime you say Lenovo, or excuse me, Lotus Notes, you have to bleep it.
I have to bleep that, I'm sorry. Yeah. But, I mean, so what is it that's making Lenovo worthwhile? What is it that's making them still coin it in when other companies are failing badly. I mean, you look at Hewlett-Packard versus Dell versus any of those major companies. They are not even close to this.
Can I do a sense check first?
Go on, then.
Does anyone know anyone of anyone's friend or mother or sister or friend of a friend who's bought one of these?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Okay, that's only one out of six, though, to be fair.
Well, being as we're probably banned from getting into the US, you don't know if these numbers are... I'm sure they're reasonably right, but 90% increase in profits.
Well, I say, well, the thing I would say, though, is
the Chinese PC manufacturer.
You increase your profits by reducing your costs.
Right.
So yes. That's where the devil's in the detail, I do believe, with this. But you ain't going to reduce 90% of purchase costs and production costs. There's got to, at best, you'd do 50. Through a wholesale change in manufacturing, you'd reduce by 50. If you went to, suddenly there's a new third world country popped up just off the shores of China or Basingstoke, you might manage it. But that's an enormous change, an enormous change.
Hmm. All right. They're not low-end PCs, though, are they, Lenovo? Because...
they're not hugely expensive. They're in the kind of £600 to £700 mark. They're not top end.
But they are good, solid laptops.
They're extremely solid. I mean, that's the point. If you look at kind of...
Have you got one, Sarah?
I haven't actually, but I have used one.
If you look at... I know Royal Mail use ThinkPads. Now, whether they're Lenovo ThinkPads or whether they're IBM ThinkPads, I don't know, but certainly the ThinkPad brand has been carried on by Lenovo.
Lenovo is the second biggest smartphone and media tablet vendor in China. So I reckon they sell a fair few.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe the devil is in the detail with the fact that they're tablets.
Yeah, rather than PCs.
Maybe that's where the increase in profit's coming from.
Apparently, IBM supply Lenovos to all their employees.
Well, that covers about 20,000 then.
Yeah. Ruata in the chat room says, my wife bought a Lenovo top last month. So that's two, because he obviously said someone before that. margins are low.
I just put this up just to try and put it in some sort of context, and I'm pretty much certain that Apple would have made more money on the Apple TV last year alone than that profit.
Right.
They sold 6-point-something million Apple TVs last year. And they're, you know, getting on for £100, $100 each.
Yeah, but the point is the PCs are not selling at them. Well, not selling as well as they used to anyway. I mean, people are still buying them from various companies, but Lenovo's just seemed to have steamed ahead.
We're getting confused here. They're making the money on selling. They are the second biggest seller for smartphones and tablets in China. So they're selling more than... ooh, who's the first in China? Samsung, I would guess.
Yeah.
I would bet Apple's first.
No, they're Korean.
So they must be selling quite a fair few in China.
I did say the devil's in the detail in the document, so it could be based on an awful lot of other things, but it doesn't suggest in this story that they're talking about anything other than laptop PC.
Hmm.
It's talking about the flagship PC business. Has bucked the trend, so it could be that there's people in the chat room who've bought a Lenovo, two of them anyway. That's a trend where I come from.
Things like Dell. Dell sort of done its reputation a lot of harm in the last few years, though, because the customer service used to be really good, and now it kind of stinks because they've gone they've cut the prices so much they had to let a load of their like support staff go. So they shipped it out.
Dell had the thing where, I mean, I had a Dell, I don't know, 15 plus years ago, and it was, I had to wait for it. I custom ordered it. It was the spec that I wanted. They said, yes, no problem, we'll send it to you. And 4 weeks later, my computer turned up, and it was exactly the spec I'd ordered. It wasn't an off-the-shelf model. It wasn't bought out of a packet. Yeah, it wasn't in PC world. And Dell built their reputation on custom-built
Yeah, I did platform. That a few months ago with my Dell PC that I'm using right now.
Right. You ordered a custom setup.
Yeah, I did.
There you go.
And you know, that's one of the reasons I like it, because I can go in there, I can pick that component, that component, that component. Saves me building the bits, you know, the spec I really want, and press a button, and a few weeks later it's on the doorstep.
A lot of people in the chat room saying the 24-inch monitor I've got from Dell is brilliant. IBM ThinkPad R30 and T40 are excellent. Also got a Dell Inspiron 1300 laptop. I remember my first laptop they ever had was a Texas Instruments, and the second one I had was a custom-built Dell.
Yeah, the main computer I use in Ireland is my custom-built Dell laptop that's about 4 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Solid as a rock, does the job. Probably shouldn't say that. Touch wood. Stay that way.
If it's the truth, Sarah, it's okay to tell the truth.
Yeah, no, I know, but last thing I wanted is breaking down on me.
Yeah, well, of course it will, because you're not there.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean...
When you're there, it won't break down. But when you're away, it's going to break down.
Okay.
Scientists have tested, allegedly, the first 100 gigabit transatlantic link. And it works.
And it's not for us.
And it's not for us.
I'm surprised, because that would make this show even more awesome.
It's from Maastricht in Netherlands, which is home of the Maastricht Treaty, which was something that you could really fall asleep from in the mid-90s, to Chicago. Several hours over normal internet connection took just a few minutes down the private pipe. Private pipe sounds like he should have been in Dad's army.
Now.
Don't tell him your name, pipe. But there you go. I mean, this is proof of concept now, surely. It's got to be coming for the masses soon enough.
Yeah, of course.
I would hope so.
What would you do with a 100 gigabit connection transatlantic, Jeff?
Teleport yourself down the internet. That's what you'd be able to do.
Do you reckon this is what this is for? It's a move towards teleportation.
We can hope. Good. Or maybe it's a move towards even a higher resolution video and audio file transfers.
I was just going to make the point, it's so that companies, US companies like, and I'm going to name one, Netflix, and I don't just a caveat that I'm not specifically aiming this at Netflix, I'm just using them as example, so that they can control everything from the US. They don't need to have sites or anything based in the UK or anywhere else, just seeing as we're doing the conspiracy theories.
Listen, Arkness, have you sussed out how this show works? Because all the witty remarks you're putting in the frigging chat room, you're supposed to be making those on the show. Okay.
Sorry, I said they'll be having deep packet inspection up your private pipe.
Spot the medic.
And there are people that will pay good money for that.
Put you in touch with you anyway.
If you've got a virus, do you get discharge out of your private pipe? No.
Yes, but there is a digital ointment you can take for that.
digital ointment.
Deep packet inspection up your private pipe by the TSA.
There we go. Absolutely.
That's your tax dollars at work.
I've gone too far, Sir Sax. Thank you, mate.
That just means I'll never get into the US now.
Could this be useful for something like, I was reading an article the other day about a guy who's trying to create a simulation of the human brain, and he's deadly serious about doing it. And I think he's got over $1 billion in...
Because so far it sounds like a Steve Martin movie.
What, sorry?
So far it sounds like a Steve Martin movie.
Yeah. I was just thinking that, you know, if you've got that kind of speed of connection stuff, is there any use for that in terms of, you know, kind of when you use all the internet, you use other people's computers to provide the processing power and... data cycles and whatnot for huge projects like this. Just thought, I'm not sure if that would.
You think?
Well, it's insane.
You're a lot of data, aren't you?
It's saying it's for sending huge data sets like those created by the large that collider thing.
Hadron Collider.
That's the one. Which produced like tons of data, and they now have to sift through it for years.
Really? Okay.
That's what they're saying anyway. So, I mean, there's loads of big things out there researching stuff, like the SETI one, for example. I'm sure you won't be using things like that, but there was those medical ones a little while ago where you could install something on your PC and it would crunch away on the numbers.
But there's a good point in there, because what you're saying, Carl, there's a lot of research projects now are using home PCs mm-hmm. to gather data. So SETI's got the remote crunching thing where they'll send data to your computer overnight and effectively install nothing more than a simple virus to get your computer to work for them, and they'll send it data while you're sleeping. And also, do you remember the thing on stargazing this year where if you sign up for the Mars Explorer project, they basically send you a picture of Mars and say, can you see anything that looks interesting on this picture? And you put in where you think the Martians are.
After it's gone through Photoshop.
Yeah, exactly. No, but they tell you about things like, bluffs and what do you call it? What's the things called where they've got a V shape with a rounded top?
Well, I'm not saying it on this program.
No, okay, but you get my meaning. There's a lot of home crunching goes on with computers that then has to be stored somewhere, so it would work well.
Sounds like a cone to me.
It's like a cone. Thank you, Sarah. That's what I meant. Cones. There you go.
A cone of data.
The cone of Mars.
Thank you, Windrider. Crowd computing was the term I was
crowd,
after.
There we go. Thank you. Crowd computing. Very good. And the thing is as well that it's like 4 a.m. for him. And he's still faster than us.
Yes.
Can I ask a question?
No, never stop you before, dude. Go for it.
When you get those emails from a friend that you kind of, a good friend, but he doesn't email very often, and it's just a link... As I've just had in the last few minutes, I've had two emails from this person. One of them says greetings, and then it's a link, and the other one says hi, and then a link.
Nope.
I'm not going to click on the link, don't worry. What's the advice that I should give to that person?
Step away from the keyboard. No.
Change passwords.
Let them know through other channels that their account's been spammed or sending spam, because I've had a friend whose account was sending spam all the time. Yeah. So I let them know through text message, I think, was how I let them know.
So her response was, I'm watching it happen. I can't stop it. It's being sent to everyone I know. What do I do?
Turn it off.
Turn it off. Unplug your computer and just reinstall everything. It's a virus of some description or malware.
So to run the virus checker and...
I think he's well beyond running the virus checker.
Just switch the computer off, unplug it from the internet, format the hard drive and reinstall Windows.
Phone them now.
Right, well, you could go into safe mode and play about with it, but...
No, it's not worth it. You'll never be sure you've got rid of it.
No, you'll never be sure.
Reformat the hard drive.
The only way to be absolutely sure is to format the hard... Get any data on there you've got off.
Not even that, though, because you might be transferring the virus off from there back on again.
Well, that's why I say only if you can be sure.
Yeah.
Unplug it from the internet and install it from recovery disks or a Windows disk, assuming it's Windows, known source.
Go downstairs, open the kitchen cupboard, get the tin foil out.
Naked.
Yeah, yeah. And get the tin foil out and twist it into a cone.
Put it on your head.
Stick it on your head.
I see. I'll respond to her now and I'll get her to send a picture by ocean.
Or click the link and tell us what happens.
We're back to the NSA again.
Send a reply back via text saying,
again.
Buy a Mac. But that's changed, maybe. We'll have to see. Obama says he's going after the patent trolls. There's proposed legislative change, and legislative is not a good word to say after you've drunk Hobgoblin. Mr. Obama's actions, which include measures he wants Congress to consider, are intended to target firms that have forced technology companies, financial institutions, and others into costly litigation to protect their products. These patent-holding firms, as opposed to trolling firms, amass portfolios of patents more to pursue the licensing fees than to actually build new products. Which is what I've been saying for ages. You can't have a concept without a proof of concept and patent it. But you can. But
I'll tell you what. He might have wanted to do this, but after today, I think he's going to have his hands full for a while.
Why is that then, mate?
Well, because now he's like going to be blamed for all the snooping stuff.
Oh, it'll die a death, though, as Jeff says. That's the thing. How many people in the mainstream media will know about Verizon snooping by the end of tomorrow?
Okay, and the other thing with this, though, if it's a law or whatever where he's proposing, it's got to go through Congress, and apparently Congress don't like passing laws at the moment that he comes up with, from what I can understand.
They're controlled by the Republicans, that's why.
All right. I can add a little more insight to this.
Oh, please do, because we're all wannabe journalists, whereas you're an actual journalist, Jeff.
Well, and I also have the benefit of being in the United States and having a very real interest in what's going on with all this. So, yes, there's the whole aspect where he's asking Congress to pass legislation that addresses some patent reform and all of that. But he's also issuing executive orders, which simply have to happen.
Oh, right.
And those executive orders are requiring the patent office to make some serious changes in the way patents are issued. And then there will be some changes to the ITC as well that will help hopefully curtail a lot of the patent troll lawsuits. So that is a big first step, and that's something that happens now, completely independent of the changes that the president is asking of Congress. And so the ball starts rolling now, and then hopefully we can get Congress to actually do something. And yes, you guys are right that we have a Congress that has at least a major faction that wants to do everything they can to, instead of serving the public and addressing legislation that needs to be made, they simply want to stop the president from being able to do anything effective. And while I'm saying that about, you know, basically what I'm saying is the Republican Party wants to do everything they can to stop the president from being effective. It doesn't matter who the president is. There's always a part of Congress that wants to stop whoever the president is from being able to be effective on any level. So it's just a matter of names at that point.
It's just a matter of it's the other party normally, isn't it?
Exactly, which is unfortunate because this should be about representing the people and not about their own political agendas. But we all know how government works. So, but at least we have the executive orders, and that the changes from that can start happening right now.
I think it's desperately necessary, though. I mean, certainly in the UK, we've got one judge that's competent to sit and hear patent application and disputes, and it's because it's so complicated. And he spent a lifetime in the judiciary coming to that point. And it's got to change because there are so many people out there sat on patents having done nothing. And as the story exactly says, it is spurious claims for patent control purely for the purposes of extorting money from those that have rightfully produced technology based on those patents.
Right.
Did you see the other story, Ewan? The Electronic Frontier Foundation is taking up the fight against those that trolls that's trying to claim the podcasting.
Yeah, EFF do a good job. The podcasting ones are immense, isn't it? I mean, that was supposedly started by Adam Curry, but some idiot presented a patent for was it episodic broadcasting?
Hmm.
Which is why we don't do episodes.
Yes. Yeah, you do one-off series, right?
We just talk. It's a show in itself. We don't do episodic means that it continues.
No, I think they just mean one after the other. So
no.
We're all in trouble from the way I read this originally.
No, episodic means that one follows the other. So if one doesn't follow the other and you never refer back to the previous one, it can't be episodic.
Okay. They'll find a way to screw you.
I did look at that, you see. When
there are other shows.
The what?
There are other shows.
What, on podcasts?
Yeah, we've done this before.
And some of them are episodic. They sound like the same week after week after week.
No.
Talking of which, we've had some reviews.
We don't say we're episodic, do we?
Episodic. Thanks for the link, Steve. Do appreciate it.
No worries.
This is from Lionel. Lionel's written to us and he said, I've been listening to Ewan and the gang from the beginning. I never miss an episode, thanks to Downcast. Up-to-date tech news with a bias towards Apple. We never mention Apple on this show. That's unfair. Easy listening, great British humour. Well done. Check out the other British tech podcast too. Cheers, mate, for the review. 5 stars. Good man. Lee in Bristol. Wicked in the street sense. in inverted commas. I'm 47, dude. I've done nothing on the street since I was about 20 and I fell over pissed. A show, really entertaining, show covering the week's technology news, great mix of Brits and American cousins. Jeff, that'd be you.
I'm a cousin.
Thanks, mate. We love you. Really know their stuff and evidently know their onions. Well worth a listen. And Slim Boy John, who I'm guessing is not particularly slim, says, I love all the BTN podcasts, but this and the media show.
Oh.
Yeah, see?
Does he carry on?
Are my favourites.
Oh, really?
He's put entailing, but I'm guessing that's an Apple autocorrect. Entailing and a sheer pleasure. Now, we talked about tails and pleasure a little while ago, but we're not going to go on to that. Red Raven has written in, Leo Laporte, eat your heart out. Leo's a good mate, he's fine. While other netcasts can be very dry and lacking in humour, the Big Show and its siblings use humour to deal with the news and doesn't take itself too seriously. As has been evident by tonight. And the last one is from another, another. Excellent podcast, gives a lowdown on the week's technology news, presented by a superb range of hosts who provide great banter and a wealth of technology. Thank you very much to everybody who leaves a review. If you've got a review for any of the podcasts we've got on the network, please stick it on iTunes, and we read out every single one. I think the first 30 minutes of the Mac Show tomorrow is going to be reviews. Thank you very much for those that have bothered to leave them, though. We will read them all out, we promise. Very grateful. Cheers very much. And the last story this evening is that the BBC have admitted they've wasted... Oh, no, it wasn't. The last story this evening is that Intel have launched the Haswell processors. A huge boost, particularly in the graphics set. They're still calling them Core, i7, etc. So you'll have the normal names that you're familiar with. But they're talking... I read some stories that were talking about a 40% increase in performance, which is pretty impressive. Anyone excited?
I think you're going to see them for the first time on stage on Monday at WWDC.
Really?
Related company.
In London.
In London at the London Mac User Group.
That's my prediction.
At the old Explorer.
Do you see? I mean, the fact that they've gone with the same kind of branding, etc., do you think these are just a plug and play, if you like, to the current Apple range, or are they going to have to do a significant change in coding?
I'm surprised they stuck with i7. With 40% increase, you would have thought it'd be an i8 or 9, maybe. Just to, if it was that different, you would. It does make a difference if you increase the number, really, does it?
Well, the old processor set was i3, i5, i7, so.
Yeah, so if it was that much. You may as well unleash the 8 or unleash the 9 if it was that much better. It doesn't cost you anything to make it an 8 or 9. I don't understand why they haven't done that if it's
unleash
that much better.
Unleash the 9!
I think that they're talking about back-end performance, though, rather than strict clock speed performance. Because in terms of the clock speeds, they're not significant.
Yeah,
they're
but punters
significant.
Don't know the difference, do they? All punters watch. You go to a shop, your mum will want an i7 or an i8. Or
yeah, but
punters are buying chips, they know the difference.
Well, I think some punters do. But
from a chip shop, yeah.
What most punters care about is speed.
Yeah. Exactly, and that's the point, is that if you look at the clock speeds of these things, they're similar. You're talking 1.3 for the i3. You're talking 1.7 to 1.9 for the i5, and 3.3 at the most for the i7.
Which is a slight increase, but not huge. It's a balancing act between how much you want to spend versus how much performance you want. And I think the optimum point is always one below the top, whatever is the current, top of the pile in terms of what's the latest. One below that tends to be the optimum place. Point to go to normally.
I think you're being too geeky about this. I'd make it an i8.
Yeah, but that's the point, is I don't think anyone really. I mean, if I went and asked Sharon what a Haswell was, she'd think it might be something that was a kitchen implement. I mean, it means nothing unless you're really into your processors, which most people aren't. They'll go out and they'll buy Core i7 is still what sells at PC World more than Core i8 would.
Yeah, I mean, the very high-end processors are for servers that are going to sit in data centers somewhere that are there for serving thousands or millions of requests, part of a bank of servers for you know, providing services to Google.com or Amazon.com, that kind of thing, because they need the optimum performance and, you know, to be able to service that, you know, thousands or millions of requests at the same time.
Great question from Alex here in the chat room. He's saying, is it still going to fit in the same sockets?
No, I believe you're going to need to get a new motherboard as well.
See, that could be the wrench for it not being something that's top of the list on Monday.
I really don't. I mean,
it's not going to matter because in some respects, because it's probably going to get a huge market in the Mac lineup to start with, and you're not going to be able to touch anything inside one of them anyway. So, and the other issue that somebody's brought up, which is I think is right, that we've not really touched on, is iBookery mentioning about the longer battery life that you get with Haswell chips, and maybe that's more the drive than the clock speed. Because I think especially in the mobile section, that's what really is needed.
Lower power drain, less electricity, and cooling costs for your machine.
That's going to be a bit of a threat to ARM then, isn't it?
Yeah, comment in there from about the ARM A series. FM2 instead of FM1. I'm not well up on ARM chips, I have to admit. But
well, I mean, they used AMD, rather. Large amount of mobile phones, and I think a lot of that is, you know, we've seen the issues with battery life on mobile phones. But if these processors are actually, you know, fast enough and easy enough to put in something as small as a mobile phone, and they've got a good battery life, then I'm sure that the manufacturers like Samsung are going to seriously look at it.
Fort's correct us in the chat room. He said that sockets has changed from the 1156 to the 1150. And he's also said at this point, you might as well just buy a Phenom 2x4 for current rig and then buy a couple of new 1TB hard drives for the same price. Interesting.
Is this a new Mac Pro chip then?
There you go, Jeff.
Maybe.
We don't talk Apple, but...
I'm expecting we'll see something like this in the MacBook Pro.
Yeah, I think because of its the efficiency of it, you probably see it more in the mobile laptop range, I would have thought.
Right.
I mean, if there's is there going to be a Mac Pro announced at any point this year, do you think?
Yes, there will be a Mac whatever, even if it's not called Mac Pro, there will be a Pro Macintosh that gets released this year. It makes sense to me that it gets released at WWDC because that's a market that would really love to get their hands on the device.
Yep.
But we'll see.
And what I'd love to see is Tim Cook stand out on the stage on Monday and say, there's a new Mac Pro coming, but not in Europe because they're assholes.
Yeah.
You diss my cabling, I pull my computer.
That's awesome.
I am not a criminal. There you go.
You guys touch on the, because obviously I've not been on the shows for a few weeks, talking of Apple, did you guys touch on the Apple tax issue?
Oh, let's not go there.
God, yes.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
No, I just thought I'd check.
Was that on your show, Carl?
No, was it on, I think we did it on Big N on Mac at some point.
Yeah, we did. But,
I didn't realise Apple's European headquarters are probably only a stone's throw away from our place in Ireland.
Yeah, no, Carl did a big show while I was away.
No, I did
but,
not.
But Virgin Media kind of did a tablecloth trick on him, so...
Ta-da!
Ta-da. Yeah. Absolutely. The Bash is coming up. It is 6th of July 2013. I have booked the caterer today. I went to see this lady, and she is... the best cook you've ever seen. She's got fantastic menu for us. We've got pork, if you're into pork and you're happy. If you're not into pork, then well. And she's got a whole load of salads and all that kind of stuff laid on for us. And she's got desserts like you wouldn't believe. And she makes them herself. And she made a sponge cake the other Monday. We went down for a lunch at the place that she runs, at the hall that we're at for the Bash. And she had a sponge cake, and I tried it. I was like, that is beautiful. What is the key to that? And she said, that's got a dozen eggs in it.
Ooh.
And they're all whipped separately.
Wonderful for cholesterol, then.
Yeah, no, she is a phenomenal, phenomenal cook. She runs a place called Pepperberry, which is a cafe that she runs on a Monday down at the venue that we're going to. And I said to her on Monday, would you do the food for this? And she said yes, and she gave me a quote, and it's going to be brilliant. She's a fantastic cook. So if you want to come to the Bash, it's Saturday the 6th of July. You've got to get a ticket, go to BritishTechNetwork.com and click on the buy now. And when you do, you'll get your ticket and you will get to come to the Bash. All your beer is paid for. All your food is paid for. There is nothing else that you need to bring with you apart from yourself and a glass, if you really want to bring a special glass, rather than the plastic stuff that we've got. We're going to have an FIA-sanctioned Space IFA? Hopper Grand Prix. Not many people know this, awesome. but it is the 21st race on the FIA calendar for F1.
Special Pirelli tyres,
US. It will be.
Let me get it straight. We're going to have loads of beer, loads of cake, loads of pork, loads of beef, loads of chicken, and then you're going to make us hop around the hall.
Well, we'll be hopping around all day because there's going to be heats for the final. And when the final comes off, then there'll be a plate and a rose bowl.
There's going to be heaps of something, I tell you.
There'll be a qualifying session for places on the grid. But yeah, we've only got six space uppers, so we're going to have to try and whittle it down. There is also...
a few years ago.
And you've only just announced this, though. This gives me a month of training.
Yes, get the space hopper out.
You need to train for months, but
absolutely
30 days.
No, now do you remember me buying a bra a few weeks ago or a few months ago that fitted around my head?
We're trying to forget.
Right, okay, that was from a lady named Batwin. She was in the chat room at the moment. She's wearing a corset to the event, and we're having a space hopper Grand Prix. If that's not worth £20. I have no clue what is, and I've. She said I can't because it's a family event. But I promise you, I've scheduled Batwench's heat for after the kids have gone to bed. So
that's just common sense, right there.
Exactly. There you go. See, I think of those kind of things. The Space Opera Grand Prix is on. Also, the world. I mean, this is Guinness Book of Records sanctioned World Card Cutting Championships will be on that day. If you are
card
cutting championships, where you get a pack of cards and you cut it, and then someone else cuts it, and whoever gets the highest wins. Best.
Can I just say, the other day in the pub,
No, you can't, clearly.
Apparently not.
No, clearly you can't.
It stuttered. Say again, Carl.
I said, can I just say, the other day in the pub, Steve thought this involved scissors. Scissors.
Yes. No, scissors, it doesn't. Scissors.
Oh, that's awesome.
You need to cut a pack of cards. You've never cut a pack of cards in your life, mate.
I have, but I have no recollection of that conversation in any way, shape, or form.
We had two lagers.
Only two? Lightweight.
There'll be card cutting. There we go. The Bash is coming. 6th of July. Get your ticket. They're £30 a piece, and everything is included. Simple as that. No
it's
questions.
A really good day, though. I've been
and
a few times.
You might
times.
Actually do a few shows as well during the day.
Yeah, we're doing all the podcasts. There's also the Gamer Show quiz, in which everybody at the Bash is going to take on Grant Chisholm, who is a mine of information relating to gaming. I probably will not even get close. I'm supposed to be captaining the Xbox team, apparently. If you're anything to do with Xbox and you like Xbox, please be on my side. Because
you're a casual gamer.
Otherwise, I'm shagged. Utterly shagged. Someone's going to be doing PC, someone's going to be doing Nintendo, and someone's going to be doing PlayStation. And whoever those teams are, you have no chance of beating Grant Chisholm. He, the Christmas quiz for the Gamer Show, I think he was five times the quantity of score of everyone else that was on this thing. He is more than geeky when it comes to it. It should be a fantastic show. We're doing all the other shows. Photo Show will be there, Max Show will be there. Big Show will be there. Media Show, I guess, is going to happen.
Carl? No media.
No media show. All right. No
media. Why?
Because Russ's not going.
So. Oh, right. What's it got to do with Russ?
Well, it's his show.
No, we can do a media show without him and post
I'll
it.
I'll do it with you.
There you go. There's two.
I'll do it.
There's three.
And you know, if I can get out, count me in.
We'll do an iOS show and Mac show, and we'll split the room in half, and one can be iOS and one can be Mac. There we go.
Where would I sit?
We'll do something.
Right in the middle.
I'm not going to be there, so it doesn't matter.
If you're thinking of going and you haven't been before, and you're just listening to this thinking, is it all right or is it not, you should go. It's really good. I've been a few times and it is really good.
You've been twice. We've only had two.
Have we?
I'm breaking my sure cherry this year, so...
Is that really going to... I would just stick with the medical stall if I was you, dude. Otherwise, that could get nasty.
It sounds like I'm going to be running a mini A&E with all this space hopper action and stuff going on.
You could be. We're saved on St. John's ambulance by having you there, mate. That's all it is.
Wow.
You're going to have to get the liability forms.
There you go. The British Tech Network Bash, 6th of July. There's also a curry, which is on the 5th of July, the night before. We're up to 27 already just for the curry. So if you want to come to the curry, get yourself a £10 deposit. It's the banner that's underneath the British Tech banner for the Bash. That will get you £10 off your meal. So whatever you order, then you then settle your bill and £10 comes off it. I don't get anything from that towards it. You're not getting a free curry, that's for sure. But Milan over at the Kismet Curry House is bracing himself for the onslaught, and it is the best curry house in the world, as Paul Wheatley says, and as Carl Madden has agreed. It's not bad.
The best in the world.
But you agreed it's not bad.
No, it's up there. It's good. It's good.
Pretty special. There we go. Right. Excellent. We are sponsored by UK2, but I don't have their logo ready. Stuff them, eh? I'll do that in a minute.
Awesome.
I've deleted the bloody logo for UK2.
Can I fill for you for a minute?
You do that, mate. You do that. Go ahead.
If you happen to be in London on Monday and wondering what to do at 6 o'clock in the evening, come and join the London Mac News Group watching the keynote live in a pub. We have an Apple iPhone. Not to give away.
No, iPad.
We have
an iPad.
iPad to give away.
iPad to give away. Good man.
We have bingo. We also have...
We got bingo. You're selling the event on bingo.
We have Keto Bingo. We've got special bingo cards designed for random words that might be...
Is that like bullshit bingo?
No, it's proper bingo.
It's topless
keynote bingo.
Topless keynote bingo.
We have the whole of the downstairs of the pub.
Thing, please. Dave?
Sorry?
I have the words one more thing on my bingo card, please.
One more thing. No, you'll lose if you do.
You might have one more thing on there, if you're lucky. But anyway, if anyone's in town on Monday and wants to come watch the keynote in a pub, then come along. We're quite nice, really.
It's the Old Explorer Pub, just off Oxford Circus.
It's the Old Explorer Pub, just at Oxford Circus. It's right in the middle of town, really easy to get to, and we've got huge space. We've got a new PA system.
I would have been there in a flash. I would have loved to have come to something like that.
Get on the train, dude. Can't cost that much.
500 watts of amplifier of keynote.
Don't forget your passport though, Richard, because it is another country.
Yeah, that's just downstairs in the pub. It's a bit of a weird group, really, but we love them.
Yes, it does it for me, says Batwinch. I've heard that before, but there we go. This podcast and all this is brought to you by UK2.net. They're fantastic. They've got a fantastic new service called Website Builder. I did the promo for it. I did the voiceover. It really is. It's like drag and drop. It's no harder to make than PowerPoint or Keynote or something like that. You drag stuff into where you want it to be, and it is. And it does commerce. It does shopping carts. It does all sorts of stuff. So give it a check out. It's £1.90 a month. At the lowest level for use of Website Builder. It's a phenomenal product. It really is. I've had a little play with it myself, and it's brilliant. And Carl, you used their old one, didn't you?
Back in the day, I had a little play, and I constructed a website in about 5 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, it's drag and drop, effectively. So give and check them out. They've got, if you go to our website, britishtechnetwork.com, click on the sponsors link, there's a link through to them. You'll get a whole load of offer codes that you can use, which will effectively clear your basket depending on what you've bought. But you'll get massive reductions on UK2 services. And they've been supporting us for a long time. Please support them, because indirectly when you support them, you're supporting us. I've sent some tickets to Craig at UK2, who's the guy that deals with our sponsorship. And I think he's coming to the Bash. So you can tell him how good you think UK2 services is at the Bash. Cheers to them. We love them to bits. Thank you very much. Right. It's time for the cool thing. Stevie boy, do you have a cool thing for us?
Oh, it's... yes.
Oh, good man.
It's an app for Android and also for iOS. And it's on my new thing to get fit. It's the Rustastic, Runtastic push-up app. And basically, you load this app up on your Android or phone or iPad, and it tells you get fit. And you think, oh, go on then. I'll do a push-up. I'll do two, and then I'll do three. So basically, it gives you a series of routine training programs. So level one gets you to do 50 press-ups after about, I think it's about 4 weeks or so. No, 20 press-ups after about 4 weeks. And it starts with doing one press-up, rest for 30 seconds, do two, rest, and then do three, and then do two. And then it reminds you 3 or 4 days later to do some more. But it's really clever because it's kind of written by people who know how to train your body so that you can push it, but not too much. So it's good. I'm now got up to being able to do a silly amount of press-ups I didn't think I could do after about 3 weeks or so.
Five.
So if you... sorry?
Five.
Yeah, now cracked six.
Ah, dude, you're the man.
It's good. Yeah, it's really good. I really like it because it allows you to rest properly between doing sessions. So it'll give you like 3 or 4 days.
Between doing one and two.
To recover from doing three. And then it says, now you've got to do this another group. And the way it gives you a group, it's the right amount to properly train yourself as well.
Are we going to have beer and push-ups at the bash?
I say, like a pub training one, couldn't you?
Oh, yeah, you could have beer underneath. Every time you get down, you get a slurp. I could do 100 straight away.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that gives you incentive to drop down once and then just keep drinking.
Get a straw. You never quit.
It wouldn't be push-ups then, would it?
No.
It'd be sink.
Where's the app again? Just give us the link.
I'll put it in the chat room now.
Good, thanks, mate.
But supposedly,
be in the show notes.
Do 50 push-ups by mid-July. If I keep going,
how many a day? Are you talking about being able to do 50 push-ups by mid-July if you did one a day?
No. 50
July,
push-ups.
July which year?
At a stretch.
50 push-ups in a go.
Very good.
Oh,
by July.
Yeah.
When's the bash, Ewan?
July. 6th of July. I feel a demonstration coming on.
I point out. I will do a demonstration at the bash.
Yeah, but you're skinny, mate. You probably could do 50 press-ups before you started this program.
No, I can currently do 25.
Very good.
But 2 weeks ago, I could do probably 16.
Are they proper press-ups, chest to the floor, bent, arms straight, body?
Oh, no. Sorry, I didn't describe the actual why.
Are they Vivian press-ups?
No, you put the iPad on the floor or the iPhone on the floor and you have to press up and put your nose on the screen and then you go back up. You put your nose on the screen and it so therefore it knows when you've done the press up. It's very, very clever.
Don't
take the piss out of me for being geeky.
You could put it halfway down your body and then you wouldn't do it. Vivian press ups. The chat room got that.
Tap, 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 tap and it would think you did Superman because you're doing press ups really quickly. But it's really good.
I just want to say thank you to Miles Wheatley. He's Paul's dad. He does all our show notes and stuff. So if you want any of the things that we talk about on the shows, go to our website, britishchatnetwork.com, and look at Snotes. And all the Snotes have been done by... thank you, Miles. We'd be lost without you, mate. You do a great job doing those. Thank you very much. Jeff, what do you have as your cool thing?
All right. My cool thing this week is the Mobi Magic Charger. And they make it for more than just Apple's Magic Mouse. But what it is, I can get this actually pop open. There we go. It's a whole battery pack that fits inside the Magic Mouse. And what makes it really cool is that it uses an inductive charger. So this connects to your USB port on your computer. And then you just drop this on that, and it recharges. And I think inductive charging products are just stunningly cool anyhow.
Impressive.
And this one happens to be for Apple's Magic Mouse, but they do make inductive charging products as well. And so that's the Mobi Magic Charger.
Mobi Magic Charger. Price?
I have no idea.
And you got sent it free of charge.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Don't buy technology.
Yeah, I just use this stuff. I don't know.
Exactly.
Yeah, but I can throw in a bonus too and go with Spirit Hound's own gin.
I use the magic mouse type thing, says Batwinch. It's shite for RSI.
You know, I use the magic mouse primarily as a scrolling device, and I use the Kensington Orbit trackball, which is an ambidextrous trackball with a smaller ball. Actually, here's the ball out of it. That's my normal device, which it is way better for your hand and wrist than something like a magic mouse. So yeah, that's really a scrolling device for me. And when I'm traveling, I will take it along so that I do have an external pointing device.
The point to make there is that in ergonomic disease, it's about individual people. It's not the device. Yeah, I use it all the time and I don't get a problem. Sarah, have you got a cool thing?
I have. As you know, as you may know, I don't know if you probably know that we have our house plug wired for network cable. So I've got network cabling everywhere, which is great. And I've always preferred using wired. But obviously with mobile devices and stuff, you really need good Wi-Fi. And obviously now I've got my tablet and we're all over the place. There are phones and things, what else? I've set myself the task of actually setting up a solid, rock solid Wi-Fi access points around the house. I've been recently looking for a good Wi-Fi access point. I found this little device on Amazon, which is, I'm primarily using it for, I'm looking for something like this for an access point. But I must admit, I bought this little, it's a TP-Link portable router, but it has an access point option as well. And it's all controlled by a bit of switch. But the great thing about it as well is if I was going away somewhere, I could pick it up, take it with me, use it as a router because it's actually got an option. Now, I know you say a lot of the routers actually you can put in bridge mode and do this anyway, but it's completely controlled by a switch and it's also got a USB thing, so you can actually plug in a dongle and use it like a MiFi device. And I have to say, I've been for £29 that this cost. I've got two or three of these around the house now. I've got our network set up with a single SSID. So that wherever you go around the house is always a rock solid Wi-Fi signal, and it's great. Absolutely love it.
Excellent. Next time you're up, you can set those up for me, mate.
I mean, they're great. They're so small. It fits in the palm of my hand.
Oh, is it about the size of an Apple TV then? Not that you'd know how big an Apple TV was.
I do know roughly, but it's actually, you know, it would actually hockey sit puck. In the palm of my hand. It's so small.
Hockey puck size.
Really, pretty much. Not much.
Actually, more likely to know what a hockey puck is as opposed to an Apple TV.
Because she's Sarah. Yeah. She doesn't do Apple.
It's how she rolls.
Exactly.
The picture on Amazon gives you a good idea of the size of it.
Yeah, there is one that actually shows it. I've seen one in the palm of somebody's hand. But I must admit, I am seriously impressed with this device. You can. I've got them plugged in and I've set them up with all different IP addresses so I can actually go onto my browser and configure it as if I want to use it a router. And then just switch it into AP mode, and it does the business.
You are a touch more geeky than the average user, though, Sarah, it has to be said.
Yeah, but you don't have to. You can just plug it in and go. I mean, I tend not to use the DHCP.
There's only 9 left in stock, but there's more on the way, say Amazon.
Yeah, I know.
Order early.
Yeah.
My startup disk is about to fill. So, Richard?
Mine is the Flux app. Did Sarah mention this the other week? Did you mention it for Android, Sarah?
Yeah, Lux. It's a fab app.
Oh, look. Is it Lux yours?
Yeah.
This one, the one I've got is called Flux. I don't know if it's the same thing, but it's F.LUX. But this one, if it's the same, I don't know what it is, but it's just getflux.com, and it's available for Android, jailbroken iPhones, because iPhones won't let you mess about with things like stuff like that. And Macs and Windows. And it's a similar sort of thing to, if it isn't the same thing, as to what Sarah was mentioning about dimming a display. But the one thing I like about this for me is I've got a feeling it might be a different one, but it automatically detects on your location when sunset and sunrise is, and then according to that, it'll adjust the color temperature accordingly. So it not only kind of dims the screen a little, but it alters the color temperature, so there's less of a white contrast. And this is apparently supposed to be designed to help reduce your melatonin levels so that it's easier for you to get to sleep after you've been working on your computer.
Oh, but nice.
I think it works.
Alternatively, I take melatonin. That helps.
Interesting. I'll have to talk to you about that.
As well.
Melatonin gives me crazy bad dreams.
Really?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Like, ridiculously disturbing bad.
If you're working on your computer late in the evening and color, you know, sort of a correct color isn't too big of an issue for you, if you're just sort of writing something or whatever, then it's a nice way to let your eyes chill out a bit.
Good. Put the link in the document for us if you would, mate, and we'll be posting in the show notes. Excellent.
I think I might put that on my Linux PC.
Yeah, it's nice.
If it gives you crazy dreams.
Yeah.
Carl, what do you have for us, mate?
To continue my Google picks, this week it's Google Plus Communities. And the reason I picked this is because we've set up communities for all the shows on, pretty much all the shows on the network. So we've got the Gamer Show, the Mac Show, the Big Show, the Media Show, the iOS Show, and the Photo Show. So if you want to join our communities, come in there, share stories that you find, comment on other people's posts, or just post things like interesting links to various blogs and stuff like that, including their own ones, and just see what's going on the various shows. Just join our Google Plus communities.
Yes, we've got loads, mate. Thank you for setting those up.
No worries.
They're huge. There's one for every show there.
And one for the network as a whole as well.
Shoot. Sarah forgot she set that up, apparently.
Yeah.
Is that if you don't like any of the shows, but you like the network?
Yeah, that's right. That's it. Absolutely.
Or network specific stuff.
Batwench in the chat room says, "Why do I need a suntan?" That's melanin, I think, as opposed to melatonin. Maybe slightly different. But there we go.
Yeah, just a little.
Yeah, just a little. My pick is Netflix-ish to a certain degree. Me and my wife are real movie files. We love watching movies. Anything that's going on, we like to watch it. And we've started using the Netflix box, our application on Apple TV, a bit more lately. And we've set ourselves this thing that even if we look at a movie and we think that looks like it's crap, we're going to watch it anyway, because actually it doesn't turn out to be so bad. Because I watched The Hunter the other week with Willem Dafoe on it, and it was pretty good, actually. I quite enjoyed it. And last night we watched 21 Jump Street, which completely turned us off, because it's kind of real, and it's not the best movie in the world, but we had quite a few belly laughs through it. I thought it was very, very good. It was rolling entertainment as opposed to something I had to think about. And so it's Netflix and 21 Jump Street. I enjoyed that. It was a pleasant movie. And it's free because it's Netflix, if you like. Within your
If you want the on. Opposite type of movie on Netflix, and if you're on the UK...
Go on.
Hard Candy.
Yeah, nice.
Oh, that's a hard film to watch.
Yeah. Make sure you watch it with your significant other.
I thought it was a bit kind of trying to make a shock statement rather than to make a different movie to myself, I've got to say. I didn't enjoy it.
Good film. I thought it was a good film.
Yeah, there we go. But there you go. Netflix and... 29 Jump Street. Brilliant. Where can we get a hold of you then, Steve-O?
On Monday, if I haven't mentioned, I'll be in the pub watching the keynote.
I don't think you have mentioned that, actually.
I'm having a few pints watching the Apple keynote in the pub in the London Mac User Group and the Old Explorer on Monday. That's me.
Okay, mate. That's great. Thank you very much. I'm just distracted slightly because Batwinch has put in and Dr. Sexy Richard Harkness.
Yeah.
Which means that someone might be looking for a bit of extra consultation, Doctor. I've got a terrible pain in my...
Is that a medical term?
It is. Jeffrey, where are you, sir?
I'm over at the Mac Observer, so that's macobserver.com. and I'm on Twitter and app.net. I'm Jay Gamm at both places. And I'm also at Fresh Brewed Tales, where I write about all the amazingly weird and ridiculous stuff that I see happen in coffee shops.
And working on coming to the bash?
And working on coming to the bash. It's, at this point, it's all about getting a ticket.
Absolutely. You've got your ticket.
Well, a plane ticket.
I have my bash ticket. The bash ticket. Windrider in the chat room says you can find Steve at the London Bingo user group. Of course. Sarah, where are you, girl?
The main place to get me is on the Twitters at Sarah Jane UK. I'm also on Google Plus, which I'm starting to use more and more now because I'm enjoying it.
Now we've got network presence.
Sorry?
Now we've got a network presence.
Well, yes. I mean, I've been just getting back into using it. I think people like Mr. Madden are partly responsible for that.
I've been getting back into using sounds like train spotting, really.
Well, I actually starting to get fed up with the 140 character limit. So I've started using Google Plus a bit more. As Carl says, I need to start actually doing my own posts. I've mainly just been re-forwarding other people's posts and commenting at the moment, but I will get there. But I'm also working on some other stuff, which I'll hopefully be able to talk about soon. So,
Would you please follow at Batwinch and DM her?
Oh.
Mm. There you go. Okay.
On the Twitters, I assume she means.
On the Twitters, yeah. Stuff Google okay. Plus. No one goes on there. Sexy Dr. Richard. Ciao. Where are you, brother?
I'll be strutting my stuff on Twitter. At Rich Harkness.
Have you got one of those things that fits on the top of your head that you can flick down that reflects light and lets you look through the hole in the middle?
No, I don't.
You should wear that for the bash.
I'll see if I can get hold of one.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming based on what Batwinch is thinking, wear that and nothing else.
Well, yes, absolutely.
Oh, God, don't go there.
Maybe the hole in the middle could be for something else. I got to say, I saw a tweet tonight that I'm just thinking of something completely different. Pizza, a guy said, I ordered a pizza and it said, have you got any delivery instructions? He said, yes, draw a UFO on the box. And the pizza delivery company did.
I thought
that was
awesome.
Pretty impressive. Well done. And last but my name is Lee, Carl Madden.
You can get me on Twitter at Clausio101 or on Google Plus or as the regular guest on the media show and as co-host on Here and There show.
So you're not doing any shows at the bash then?
Skulking around drinking beer and eating pork.
Now we know the real reason why not doing the media show.
I had to do last year's bash. I had to do the first show and the last show, so I had to stay relatively sober. But not this year.
No. We've got beer coming from the Wood Farm Brewery. They've got three casks for us to drink. 9 gallons per cask, so that's 27 gallons of beer to drink before we even get into the wine.
Well, I hope we have enough.
God.
We've got 80 people coming at the minute, so should be Welcome a good old all. Bash. Should be a great bash. We only had 50 there last year, so we're already up on last year's total. So, yeah.
And it'll be dry.
Who'll be dry?
It will be dry.
Yes, there's going to be great weather, no pissing down. I will be bringing my van down with all of me tenty things in, just in case it does decide to piss down. But we can still go outside if we do. And we've got a huge hall. It's an absolutely fabulous venue. Your brother has seen the venue, Steve.
Oh, really?
Yes, he has. He had a baked potato there the other week.
That's a bit of a weird.
That is, isn't it? That's just abstract. But he has your brother has had a bear potato at the venue.
Carl, can I put my drums in your car? Can you take my drums, please?
I've got a full car. I ain't got the old car. I got a new car now, so it's not as big. I'm afraid.
Have you not got the Saab convertible anymore?
Not anymore.
What have you gone now for?
Micro.
I'm sure listeners don't want to know.
Have you bought a Nissan Micra, dude?
No, it's a little extra.
But you in your Saab convertible, you was like noddy. You were like 1 foot above the windscreen.
Do you want to carry this insult on and offline, mate? No. Is it a smart car? Spligosh says, is there going to be soft drinks?
What's that?
Fuck no.
And don't go drinking the kids' juice.
Don't you need that as a sort of a have a bit of a time out from the alcohol to have a bit of a break?
If you want anything other than beer and pork, you shouldn't have wasted 20 quid.
Oh, well, I'm glad I'm not coming because I don't drink beer very often.
And the rabbi says you can't drink pork.
Oh, yeah, I'm not Jewish.
That wasn't what I meant.
That's convenient.
We'll be back again next week as normal. I haven't asked anyone yet, but it might be Friday, I'm afraid, because I've got a thing to do on Thursday. We'll be here discussing the week's technology news and having a great time. Sorry for last week, but thank you for this week. See you soon.
Cheerio.